This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman in studio along with Mr. David Miller.
Hey, Jim. You sit down and quit dancing to that new music.
I kind of like the new
music.
I know you do. It was time for a refresher after, yeah. What's this, 2 years for you?
Yes, I'm two sure? years for me, yeah. And I got to change the ringtone on my phone now.
And I think it'll be four or three, something like that, come December. So it's been a little while. And Mr. Callahan, actually, I got a text from Brian Callahan, or the original co-host. Well, I'm not saying the best co-host.
No, I'm not saying the best either. You
know, the original, the best of his time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he and his lovely wife are back in the country. They took a, they did a summer walking tour of Europe.
Wow.
And had an opportunity to take advantage of it, and
sure,
so he did. But
go for it.
He texted me and is back in the States and wants to catch up and all of that. But
I took a walking tour this past Sunday when I was at the Eastside Kroger, and it was about the same distance through Europe because with all the students back, it was quite a haul.
What sort of punishment did you have in order to go to Kroger the day before school starts back up?
It's poor planning on our part, but we were out of town for a couple of days after the show last weekend, and
I see.
And got back, and of course the cupboard was bare,
mm-hmm.
so we had to go try to scrounge what was left, and the checkout aisles were all the way back through the regular aisles, and welcome back, Caillou students.
It yes, and we've got some things to talk about because there unfortunately has been some discouraging news over the last week of some activities going on campus, so we'll talk about that in the second segment here. Last week was the start of Short Show Friday as it's high school football season,
yeah.
And I think all of our timing worked out for everybody, so hopefully everything smoothly into Friday night into Joe Smith, and though we still keep broadcasting on Friday evening, or I should say recording Friday
yes.
evening, because we don't know what the score is for Saturday morning when you catch the full hour of the program.
But here we are again last week, meatloaf style, two out of three ain't bad, and we had Bloomington South and Edgewood get wins, but the Cougs fell, and tonight, right here at the bottom of the hour, we're gonna do a pitch to Joe and to John, who are going to be down at South tonight. For some Chalk Talk, Mo Moriarty and the South Panthers are going to be hosting the Artesians from right up the road in Martinsville. So last week it was a handoff because we're just getting started with the season. We're going to go with a pitch into the backfield, and Joe's got some moves, I'll tell you. So I think he'll be in good hands to carry this one through for tonight. But good luck to the Panthers. Good luck to Coach Mo. And great, very impressive win against the Bedford Stars last week. So excited for them to get in there.
The Martinsville Artesians actually left for the game Thursday night at 8 p.m. because
yes,
it takes
to get
that long
from 37.
To get down 37.
It'd be easier just to drive to Indy and then fly into the Bloomington airport.
You know, that or go around the back way 67 down to Spencer.
Did I tell you I did that? Kelly and I did that a couple weeks ago. I'd never done that before. I've been here for almost going on 20 years in Bloomington. And we were coming back from Indy and got to that Burton Lane right there, the last Martinsville stop south,
yes.
kind of on 37, and saw nothing ahead of us but stop cars and taillights. So we just jumped off there. Went 3967 south and Paragon and Gosport. Beautiful this time of year.
Oh, it is. It
so,
is. And
nice
that's
little
a
drive.
Great way to drive. And then, and you can also head over through Spencer and go up through Cloverdale if you're going up to Chicago and
yes.
actually avoid the I.
And Jim, believe it or not, I did that on Monday with my good friends, Sergeant Shannon Bunger from the IU Police Department and Lieutenant Mike Reth. We went to the Cubs game and saw Chris Bryant's walk-off home run. You saw
yes,
the picture of me and the
saw
bear.
The photos, yes.
Yeah. So, a great trips over there on
did
the west of
did you see our friend Mr. Schwarber at all?
I saw him play. I did not see him up close, but you know, I did see a former friend. And Chuck, this morning was on Glass in the Morning. Chuck knows Derek Crawford, who was with us at IU and worked mm-hmm. under Doug Boer. You may have
I don't know if you
remember Derek. Yeah, but Derek works for the Cubs now, and so we got a chance to catch up with him and say hello. So
good
weekend of stuff, but fun travels over there on the west side. Diverting 37, we should figure out all these different ways to divert 37. So you Bean Blossom people, don't forget we're going to be on you next. 135 for life.
Oh, goodness. Well, we are going to take a break. It is Short Show Friday, as we mentioned, so you've got us for about 15, 20 minutes or more, and then we'll get to Joe and John here for Chalk Talk at the bottom of the hour. If you're catching us Saturday morning, though, you've got a full hour with us here right before we get into Your Money with David Hayes at 9 o'clock.
He's live. He's going to be live tomorrow
That's
morning.
Right.
That's right. This is exciting.
This is true.
He was taped last night, replay from last week's show. because of a conference he was attending. But tomorrow morning, or actually, yeah, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, if you tune in to the Bloomington Review, you get the full hour of us, and you get David Hayes live in the studio, all for the low, low price of free.
What more could you ask for? We're going to take a break, come back with some weather, get you some local news, and then we'll get you some local football later on. Plenty of sports stuff. Unfortunately, a couple boys from the IU basketball team made news again this week, so we'll touch on that. I know Glass and Novak have talked about that on In the Zone. There's just a lot to talk about. Just me and Mr. Pillar this week. We're going to keep it low-key and simple. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview or WGCLRadio.com for all of your needs here on The Bloomington Review. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman and Dave Pillar with you. And again, in just a little bit, Friday night high school football coming up. Martinsville heads to Bloomington High School South in just a few minutes. And the forecast is looking pretty nice.
It is. It's perfect Friday night lights tonight. Partly cloudy, low around 62. So get yourself a hat and a light wrap, and you'll be good to go.
Late wrap, rather.
Saturday, a 20% chance of showers, thunderstorms, partly sunny, high near 85. Saturday night, same 20% chance of rain, partly sunny, high near 67. Sunday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, high near 83. So a beautiful weather weekend, but stay tuned to WGCLRadio.com for all your weather all the time.
If you listened on Wednesday morning to Glass in the Morning at a little bit after 8 o'clock, you heard from County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. A lot of the news we're going to talk about tonight, she touched on as well, and I know that that audio is available up at WGCLRadio.com. But here's some of the latest stuff that Marty talked about and some other local news of the week. Thousands of dollars in cash bonds and money intended for jail inmates were pilfered from the Monroe County Corrections Center, according to an investigation by the State Board of Accounts. In the Herald Times this week, Sheriff Brad Swain stated that new policies have been enacted regarding how the jail receives cash bonds from the public in light of the ongoing investigation. Now, back in June, you'll recall that a longtime employee of the jail was terminated by the sheriff as a result of preliminary information uncovered in the investigation. Swain is not releasing the individual's name. We do know that it is a female, but he is waiting until the State Board of Accounts releases an official report or until charges are filed by the Monroe County Prosecutor's Office. Now, a 2013 State Board of Accounts audit for the Correction Center sparked the state investigation. This started back in March and is expected to wrap up sometime in September. Sheriff Swain said, quote, "I think it's a fairly significant amount of money. I don't have a grand total yet." And also keep in mind that this did not happen under Swain's leadership. This actually happened under the previous sheriff's role. New policies at the jail will limit the number of employees handling cash now. Before, members of the, this one kind of gets me. Members of the public could simply pay cash bonds for inmates to any jail staff member.
Yeah. Hey, so you over there, here's $400. Get my cousin out of jail.
That's kind of concerning, But now the public's instructed to pay cash bond amounts to the Monroe County Clerk's office during normal business hours. They can also use a bank machine in the jail lobby to pay cash bonds and attend to other financial matters such as commissary funds for inmates. Part of the audit from the 2013 review found only one staff member was in charge of the bank and bond records. No one had been assigned to review that person's work or the specific set of financial records the employee maintained. The audit also noted deficiencies in the internal control of financial activities. No comment, however, just yet from the State Board of Accounts.
Well, it's the same story over and over and over. We got to get this under control.
We do.
Do it by voting. All right. Monroe County Coroner Nicole Meyer can document that heroin-related deaths are on the rise. Of the estimated 16 drug overdose-related deaths so far this calendar year, 7 were heroin-based. "We are definitely seeing a lot more accidental drug deaths, a definite increase, not just from heroin, but prescription drugs as well," Meyer said. "I have way more drug overdose deaths than death by car accidents. Heroin overdoses that land people in the IU Health Bloomington Hospital emergency room have increased from 9 in 2012, Jim, to 48 in 2014. During the first 6 months of this year alone, the number was 37 ODs that have gotten people to the hospital. Half of those seeking help at Bloomington's Amethyst House Treatment Center are using heroin. Most recent one that has made the news, if you've not seen it, there have been a bunch. But a 28-year-old homeless man on North Walnut Street, 46-year-old man not breathing and turning blue, on East Kirkwood. Police found a 21-year-old unconscious in his vehicle next to McDonald's on North Walnut. He said he snorted heroin and had no idea and didn't remember how he got to where he was. So we're hearing about this all over the state. And of course, just a couple weeks ago, we had Indiana State Police Trooper Kent Rolfing up with us here. So, you know, it's obviously an issue that's being addressed with the legal system, and you hear what we hear when the medical community as well. Mm-hmm. But, again, we just talked about this a lot. If you see someone or know of someone that needs help, try to get them some help before it gets gets any worse.
The Indiana Board of Tax Review has ruled in favor of CVS on its appeal of the county's assessments of the College Avenue location from the years 2009 to 2013. Herald Times reported on Tuesday this week that the decision, which actually came the week prior, could be the first of many, as other CVS stores in Monroe County have filed appeals for previous tax years, County Auditor Steve Salter said. County Assessor Judy Sharp said she is disappointed by the decision and intends to petition the Indiana Tax Court to review the board's decision. Salter said it is still not known how much of the refund the county would be required to pay if the board's decision stands, adding that those calculations should be available soon. In making its decision, the state board significantly lowered the property assessment for the CVS store, and this is up on like 14th and College, if you will. Just for 2013, though, the property assessment will decline more than $1.3 million. We've talked about this also over the last few weeks, how the appraisal is using a dark box data to determine the property's true tax value by comparing it to other properties, despite a recent law change. And under that law, when assessing properties no more than 10 years old, properties that have been vacant for more than a year and those sold that are no longer used for the same place or similar purpose are not allowed to determine true tax value. This is another one that there's going to be more to come.
Yeah. The students are back, Jim. We've talked about that, and this kind of relates to the story that a third of the city's theft reports in the past year involved items stolen from cars. Now that the city has seen a population spike, again with the return of students at Indiana University, police are offering a few crime prevention tips. From August 12th through Sunday of this past week, Bloomington police had taken 44 reports of thefts from vehicles. More than half of those reports have happened since IU's massive move-in day last Wednesday. Neighborhoods near campus, south of Atwater Avenue and east of Washington Street, have been popular targets for thefts, according to Bloomington Police Department Captain Joe Qualters. In about a year's time, from September 22, 2014 to August 23, 2015, 32% of the city's theft reports involve items stolen from cars. In that same period of time, 112 car parts, such as catalytic converters and batteries, were also reported stolen. And Captain Qualters goes on to say, don't leave anything of value, including small amounts of change even, visible in a vehicle. Remove personal belongings from vehicles. Take items inside your residence or keep them out of sight in trunks. Keep cars locked, especially overnight. Jim, sounds like common sense. And this is interesting because it is, even if there's a little bit of change in your cup holder that you might think is nothing, for mm-hmm. someone that's looking for change, looking mm-hmm. for any amount of money to buy anything good or bad or in between, they're going to break your window and take your change. And then when they're in there, they're going to find other stuff. And, you know, whether it be garage door openers or stereo equipment, or do people still have cassette tapes maybe? Or
I do.
Eight tracks or something like that. Maybe some compact discs, all those sorts of things like that. You certainly don't want to lose any of that stuff. So lock your doors. Put your valuables away. Take them inside.
Come on.
Don't leave your purse or your wallet or those things. Oh, my gosh.
People do that.
Oh,
yeah.
There is a tax on people that make decisions like that, but you hate for them to have to go through what they do.
Herald Times reported that a crowd gathered at the Monroe County Courthouse this week to urge county officials to reject a proposal from a local Planned Parenthood center for a county grant left disappointed on Tuesday night for the vote. It was a 6-1 decision with County Council member Marty Hawk the only dissenter, as Planned Parenthood Bloomington Health Center was awarded $3,000 as part of the Sophia Travis Community Service Grant Program. The funding is directed to providing women with access to long-term reversible contraception options. And while Planned Parenthood was one of many awardees Tuesday night, the council decided to vote separately on whether to award the grant. The decision came because of the opposition from a variety of people who took to the stage and to the podium and pleaded with the council to vote against awarding the grant. Planned Parenthood, as we all know, has been big in the media lately, and that was part of the reason why. Council member Shelley Yoder said Governor Mike Pence has called an investigation into Indiana Planned Parenthoods, and the report came back with no illegal activities. But still, Marty Hawk, the dissension vote, said that she wants the county to fund family funding with the county-run Futures Family Planning Clinic instead of Planned Parenthood.
All right, Jim, one last one here. A woman was attacked as she was walking to her boyfriend's residence at Hoosier Court Apartments in Bloomington Sunday morning. According to a Bloomington Police Department Captain Joe Qualters, the woman had been at Kilroy Sports Bar that night and later had arranged for a ride through Uber to go to her boyfriend's apartment just before 3:30 a.m. However, the Uber driver dropped her off on Amaryllis Drive instead of the 400 block of West Hoosier Court Apartments. When the driver realized it was the wrong road, the driver offered to take the woman to the right location, but she refused, saying she would just walk. The 22-year-old woman told police she watched the driver drive off and then began walking in a grassy area between buildings when a man grabbed her from behind in a bear hug and then punched her in the face. The woman told police that during the struggle with the man, she was able to remove her crossbody purse and threw it to distract the man, and then she fled. The woman returned to the area about 5 minutes after the attack to find her purse dumped on the ground and her money missing. The woman told police the man was tall with an average build and was wearing a dark-colored hooded sweatshirt. So, again, we're not reading these to depress people. Bloomington has so many wonderful things, and Julie Warren covered all of a lot of those last week when she was here from Visit Bloomington. But the landscape of our community changes for 8 months out of the year.
Right.
And this is these are the things, whether it's the thefts, whether it's the assaults, whether it's the attacks, these sorts of things happen when the population density increases in the same small space that the rest of us are in from May through the middle part of August. So common sense, be safe, make good decisions, don't walk alone. And all those things.
And it's not just a female thing.
Not at all. Not at all.
You just, take care of your friends.
Absolutely.
Text somebody, be on the phone, whatever it takes. Just be smart and pay attention, and hopefully all goes well with this young woman and the bad guy is busted. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar here. Just a couple minutes left before we get to Joe and John and Chalk Talk, and it's going to be a beautiful night.
Yeah, partly cloudy with a low around 62 for the rest of the football evening. So as we tell you all the time, get out there and support our local student athletes. The Panthers are our game tonight on WGCL, hosting the Artesians of Martinsville on the south side. The Cougs are also home, Bedford North Lawrence, visiting Martin Field. And what did you say we had for Edgewood, Jim?
I'm pulling up Edgewood's calendar as we speak to try and figure out where they are at tonight. And
well, Edgewood's playing football tonight. We know that. So obviously we want to cheer on all of our local Bloomington and Monroe County teams. And other stuff, obviously we've talked about this a little bit before, but we're in the girls' golf season. We're into boys' tennis right now. We've got volleyball and cross-country. And lots of other different activities here going on in the community. We're still a week away from our IU football kickoff, which is obviously another big one that we'll talk about later in sports. But a reminder that if you're with us tonight, we're going to be passing it off to Joe Smith in just a little bit for Chalk Talk with Coach Mo. And then we're going to keep recording tonight, but you won't get to hear it until tomorrow morning. So when you tune in tomorrow morning at 8 for the Bloomington Review, you'll get to hear all of what you just heard, but then the second half hour will be new to you. And then, again, David Hayes live in the WGCL studio.
Edgewood is at Northview tonight.
Northview, there you go, in Brazil, or Brazil, if you're from over there.
Next week on the show, if you're only catching us Friday evening, we have a wonderful lady with a great cause. We've got Vanessa from the
Vanessa
McClary.
Ms. Kiwanis. She's going to be here to talk about Bloomington Balloon Fest and the Kiwanis Balloon Fest, and it is a wonderful, wonderful event that'll be out at the fairgrounds in 2 weekends. You definitely want to get that on your calendar. It is super cool.
Yes, it is. We're going to take a break, come back with more if you're on Friday night. Joe Smith and the guys in just a minute here on WGCL. Happy Saturday morning to you all here on the Bloomington Review and WGCL. Jim Inman and David Pillar. Friday night, we always have to give this a little bit of disclaimer because you're catching the show on Saturday morning, but it's Friday night.
But we're still recording on Friday night because we are not cool like David Hayes. We're not coming in live to do the Saturday morning show like he will be right after us here on the Saturday morning edition of the Bloomington Review. But yeah, we're just gonna keep recording. So we have already done our pitch over to Joe Smith, and Joe and John are in Chalk Talk right now, and the Panthers are getting ready to host the Artesians. You know what happened because it's Saturday morning, and you said you listened to the game last night. You've read the paper this morning, but we don't know what happened because it's still Friday night for us. So you've got us for a half an hour of fresh new stuff, Jim.
That's exactly right. Next week on the show, Vanessa McClary is going to be joining us, talking about a wonderful event, Balloon Fest. Who's your Balloon Fest?
Kiwanis Indiana Balloon Fest. Yeah, and this is extra special, Jim, in my heart, because it was 2 years ago that I came on the show with you and yes. Brian Callahan, who we talked about a little bit earlier, to talk about Kiwanis Balloon Fest. As I'm a Kiwanian, and it was the first Balloon Fest, and now this is all of a sudden year three, and under Vanessa's guidance, the whole spectacle has just become bigger, and it's really outstanding. And you and I remember we went out there. Was it last year? I think it was, or was that 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago.
So it was 3 years ago that I came onto the show.
You came on before we were even on AM.
My goodness.
Jeez, I hope I was supposed to keep my yard sign that advertises Balloon Fest, because I put it out a couple weeks ago from last year.
Fantastic.
Because it says the second weekend of September.
So there you have it.
I'm doing my part.
Well, and it is a great event, and I'll let Vanessa talk all about it next weekend. But barbecue cook-off, cornhole contest.
Did we determine if chili is going to be involved?
You know, I've not asked. Okay. I've dropped the ball on that one. I'm sorry. Okay. I've seen barbecue advertised a few times in some of the things that I see on Facebook or some of the email correspondence we've got, but nothing about the chili in this year, but we've done it in the past. Health and safety fun fair, mm-hmm. Kiwanis Idol singing competition finals and stuff. It's so family friendly. It's so cool. It's just a great, great night with all of the funds that are raised from this. I think Vanessa will certainly talk about this more extensively, but all the funds raised from this go into the Kiwanis programming for kids and serving families and children in our community. So partnership with Riley, partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, partnership with a lot of the schools. So good mm-hmm. stuff. Good stuff.
Speaking of good stuff, this part is not really, but I thought we ought to talk about it for a few minutes. Glass and Novak on In the Zone have talked about this Monday and Wednesday this week. This is not new news. It's still a developing story and all of that. But in case you have had your head in the sand over the last several days, there was yet another incident with IU men's basketball players. Sophomore Emmett Holtz, freshman Thomas Bryant were cited a little bit before 1 a.m. on Saturday last weekend by the Indiana State Excise Police. After uniformed officers, this is from an HT story, uniformed officers allegedly observed each of them in possession of a bottle of vodka while sitting as passengers in a parked vehicle outside the convenient food mart, which most everybody knows it's over at 17th and Dunn. It's still a story that's being handled. It's been rather quiet from the leadership team up until Wednesday when IU Athletic Director Fred Glass spoke as well. When do you learn a lesson?
You don't. You know, you haven't, clearly, and they've demonstrated that. I don't want to talk too much about this, obviously because of the role that I have with IU basketball, except to say that it's frustrating as an educator. It's frustrating as an IU basketball. I was a student manager, but I'm still a letter winner. I'm still a letterman, an I-man. Mm-hmm. It's just frustrating. And it's frustrating that you wish these guys would learn that they're not above the law. They're not invincible. That their behavior just shows a blatant lack of respect for what their coaches are trying to do. What Tom's Coach Crean's trying to do. What Fred Glass is trying to do with the program. What Michael McRobbie.
What the history is as a IU basketball player, even. That's what gets me.
Here's the thing, Jim, and again, this might mean nothing or this might mean everything depending on what perspective you're coming from, but neither one of these guys are Indiana kids. You know, they're both from New York. And I think, right or wrong, and then maybe that's an unfair statement because, you know, Kyle Hornsby is from Louisiana and he epitomized IU basketball. Kirk Hasten from Tennessee epitomized IU basketball. Not everyone's going to be Damon Bailey from Bedford, Indiana. That's just the reality. And that's also an indictment of the current landscape of college athletics where basically these guys are mercenaries brought in from all over the country and all over the world to play for a university that they may have never even stepped foot on the campus you know, before their first time there after signing a letter of intent. It's just different, you know.
True.
It's just different, right or wrong. And so, you know, I'm not certain because I've not been as closely attached with Coach Crean's program as I was before with the previous administrations. But I don't know what, besides walking through Cook Hall and seeing all of the pictures and trophies and such, I don't know. Do they go through the history of the program and talk about what it means outside of the candy stripe pants and so on and so forth? You know, keep in mind, we talk about this a lot. When the Final Four rolls around in March, April of next year, that will be 29 years since IU has won a national championship.
1987.
Yeah, and so, you know, we got to look in the mirror. We'll say
true.
It like that. We got to look in the mirror and try to think where we are, where we want to be, and whether the people that we're bringing in are the ones that get us there. And, you know, Emmett Holt, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, you were involved in an accident last year that could have killed somebody. And here we are again, you know, several hundred yards from where that incident took place with alcohol in the car. And you're bringing a brand new freshman, 18-year-old kid that's brand new on campus and brand new to the program, and that's what you're doing. And you know, I just Coach Crean's just in a spot where, you know, you educate, you punish, you educate, you punish, you know, and it's just a tough one.
And again, this is not we aren't talking about IU basketball, but this is not just
an
IU basketball
situation.
Just
Bloomington, and it's certainly not just. It's not Tom's lack of ability to control people. This happens. Look at the ESPN.com and look at the college basketball and the lead stories: dismissed from the team, dismissed from the team, suspended from game, transferring out because of it's.
Well,
it's frustrating.
Even last week we talked about Antonio Allen, who was transferred to Indiana State,
yeah.
And he was the guy who is facing all these charges of dealing cocaine, heroin, which we talked about in news a little bit ago. I mean, he's got level 2 felonies pointed at him with all of this. And again, perhaps you're a lifer, so to speak, for the amount of time that you've been in Bloomington. I am a total lifer. I've lived in this town my whole life. I grew up watching Channel 4 and tuning in to these basketball and football games and everything. So from my perspective of seeing the disregard for the history, the reputation of everything to be an IU Hoosier on any level, basketball, scholarly, education, whatever you want to call it, the fact that it is just tossed away.
We have degrees from there, and we're proud of that.
So
you know, and it's just
frustrating.
It is. And so President Michael McRobbie had an opportunity, because when you're the president, you can make your own opportunities.
True.
But earlier this week, he had a meeting with the athletic program in full. And Fred Glass said that Mr. McRobbie took the opportunity very appropriately and forthrightly to express his expectations about student-athlete behavior, and that was to put our coaching staff from top to bottom on notice. I gave an annual report on where we are as a department and follow all of that with my own expectations in that regard. McRobbie was quoted in the meeting as saying the misbehavior simply has to stop. What I do not want to see is any more stories of repeated student misbehavior. They embarrass the university. They embarrass all of you in athletics, and they are a complete distraction from our primary goal as an educational institution. So people can bat that around or argue that and talk about where our priorities and resources go, because I'm sure they will. You know, Jim, someone's going to get killed.
McRobbie has a very good point. Saturday, according to the Herald Times, marked the 6th off-court incident involving IU basketball players since the incident with Hanner Mascara-Perea, the arrest back in February 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 6 events, 5 of them involved multiple players at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even having a buddy that says, dude, you're being stupid.
Yep.
We're walking home and you're going to bed. I mean, there's not even that.
Well, and you're frustrated, Jim, because, you know, you have those years of Victor Oladipo and Jordy Halls and Cody Zeller and Christian Watford and those guys and the kind of internal policing that they did. And you would think with you know, Yogi's a senior and Zeislof's a senior and Troy Williams is a junior and some of these other guys that have been around and have been through some of these things on the court and then off the court and where are you at? And when I coached for Tom McKinney at Bloomington North, we had a sign in our locker room and it says, we expect problems from freshmen. We ex- expect fewer problems from sophomores. We expect no problems from juniors, and we expect seniors to solve problems. And that has to that has to happen within your organization, whatever your organization may be, to help police those sorts of things. Because otherwise, we're playing with people's lives here, right. And this is beyond basketball. It's beyond IU. It's young people making decisions, and unfortunately, that's been kind of the summary of the show, but it's just creeping up all over the place right now, and we just want these guys to go out and represent the university that we love so much.
And quickly, before we take a break and get into much more on sports, IU has been in the news completely separate from these athletic incidents, but because of Jared Fogle and all of his things. Jared Fogle is a graduate of Indiana University, mm-hmm. and within hours of his court appearance last week, they were at the national media was at the local Subway,
yeah,
talking to the people, and it's like, guys, this was 15 years ago,
yeah.
but there is still a standard, there's still a reputation.
That's
so.
It.
We're gonna take a break. Come back with more sports. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Sports it is here on WGCL, and of course we are your home for Reds coverage, and Red season is wrapping up, but we've got a few games coming up starting tonight at 7:10 at Milwaukee, then on Monday and Tuesday next week. You should have gone to the games next week, Mr. Piller.
Well, they're in Chicago again on Monday and Tuesday. The Reds are on the radio, and as you said, the season is winding down, as my main man Dave Duff would say, mercifully. It is, but the Reds still they have a big role in this last month of the season, because they do have five games left with the Cubs, I think. They do have five or six games left with the Cardinals. They play Pittsburgh, so the Reds still have very, very meaningful games left for the rest of this season, and you can hear so many of those games here on WGCL, so your local home for Reds baseball. Also, as we've talked about, high school football last night. The Martinsville Artesians were at Bloomington South, and that was our WGCL game of the week. Bedford Stars were at Bloomington North, and then the Mustangs of Edgewood went over to Northview, Brazil, Indiana, to play Northview. So, again, Saturday morning, we recorded this last night, so we don't know the scores, but you do by now. But next week, Cloverdale will visit the Mustang Corral and be right here on WGCL Radio, where Joe will have Chalk Talk with our good friend Jerry Bland. Over at Edgewood. So Colts back in action tonight. They're at the Rams, 8:00 kickoff. Pick up that game here again tonight on WGCL Radio. And then Thursday, another game for us. Cincinnati Bengals go to Lucas Oil Stadium to take on the Colts in the final preseason game of the season. By then, by Thursday, Jim, you'll get to see some of the Colts' main players in action for a little bit longer than what you've seen so far. No reason mm-hmm. to get anyone hurt this year. Gosh, Jordy Nelson out from the Packers for the season with a torn ACL, and with the starting cornerback from the Dallas Cowboys out for the season. New York Giants lost some players. So obviously you want to be careful, but you have to get ready for game action. But a reminder, WGCL Radio, every Colts game this season, every primetime NFL game, Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays, and then other Sunday games where the Colts are not playing, we'll have every single playoff game on WGCL and Super Bowl 50, which will be February 7th. So that is absolutely awesome. And then tomorrow, IndyCar racing on WGCL from Fontana. So obviously IndyCars made the news earlier this week with the death of Justin Wilson, who was killed in the race in the Poconos last week. An accident in front of him, debris hit him in the head. And these are all open wheel racing and open carriage racing, so there's nothing to protect them. He got hit with a piece of debris, drove into the wall, and he was killed. But the nice story, and this obviously is near and dear to your heart.
Six different people
mm-hmm. benefited from his sad situation.
Yeah,
and it was a gift, you're right.
And organ donation, yeah, close to me, multiple levels, and it was very nice to hear that in their time of grief that they were able to offer those opportunities to other people. And, it's a gift. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Other sports stuff, Jim, really, to talk about the Colts just for another second, really lousy article, lousy headline from the Star this week, disappointing on so many different levels, that they had a picture of Reggie Wayne, and it said, yes. Patriot or traitor. And that's just so lowbrow from the Star. What a joke that is, because Reggie Wayne gave himself to this community as a product from Florida and went to the University of Miami, came and made Indianapolis his home, did so many good things for that team, for that community, and for them to sell him out like that was just trash.
He had a great letter that he shared to the Colts Nation back in the spring, back in May, talking about, you know, how much pride he had for wearing the Colts blue and all of that. You know, the guy was put in the position of what he had to make a decision for himself as an athlete, as a for life.
Here's why I'm mad, you know, because of course Reggie was never one to dodge the media. He was always there, and for the star to do that, just a joke. But the Colts cut ties with Reggie. Reggie would have come back and played for the Colts again.
Right.
The Colts made this decision. This was not one of those situations where, you know, a guy hits free agency and then sells himself to the highest bidder. This is I want to play another season. Mm-hmm. Can I come back? No, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to sign a guy from Canada who's, you know, younger and athletic. We're going to draft somebody in the first round that's, you know, 14 years younger than you, and we're going to go in a different direction. So, yeah, Reggie wants to play football. He's a Hall of Famer. He wants to play. He wants to go out on his terms, and he's earned that. So, again, terribly disappointing that they went with that headline, but cheers to Reggie and best wishes and best of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the best of luck the night that you play the Colts, but for the other 15 games out of the year, absolutely. We want Reggie to do well. Rex Grossman, how about that, Jim? Got $1 million to sign up with the Atlanta Falcons.
Hasn't thrown an NFL football in about 3 years now.
Kyle Shanahan, who was his former offensive coordinator for both the Cleveland Browns and the Washington Redskins, mm-hmm. is now the offensive coordinator in Atlanta. Atlanta had a shaky backup quarterback situation. And you know, Rex, gosh, you know, he's 35 years old. Rex is 35 now, which in NFL years is old, but that's still younger than me. And that's pretty awesome that he's getting another crack to go play in the NFL. So good for Rex. Good luck. Former Pitt guard Josh Newkirk is transferring to IU. Newkirk will sit out due to NCAA regulations this season. But he will be taking over the point guard position with 2 years of eligibility left for the Hoosiers in the 16-17 season. So it's another transfer for Tom Crean, bringing some other guys in with some experience, and probably a good move with some graduations and some people moving on after this season, most likely. And then Jim, Kyle Schwarber report.
Somebody told me somewhere I read that he has made Cubs history, like the only player in modern era for something. I don't know if it was
since
home runs.
Since 1900, so that's the last 115 years.
Right.
He is the first Cubs player to hit 12 home runs in his first 40 games or – you know,
it's kind of a made up
statistic. It's a neat stat, but it's one of those ones. It's like, you know, this team is 5-0 against teams west of the Mississippi River after 4 p.m. You know, it's one of those. But it is a little bit of, hey, he's hitting the heck out of the ball. Had another big home run on Tuesday night of this past week to help the Cubs beat the Giants early in the week. And then Wednesday night, he leads off. I mean, this guy is hitting the ball. His average is down because I think his last four hits – as of the middle of the week, were all home runs. And so he's not hitting the ball for average like he was with that kind of that gaudy 400 batting average, but he's still in the 270s, 280s with his batting average. He's hitting big home runs, and he's helping lead the Cubs. I don't want to jinx it, Jim, so I'm not even going to say it, but he's helping lead the Cubs to a very strong record, which I hope will extend their season.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It, that's what the Beach Boys said, and I agree. You're right.
Door was open. I'm glad that you walked in on that.
No, it was good.
So, we'll see how that all shakes out. But if you want to catch up with what Mr. Schwarber's doing, Monday and Tuesday nights next week here on WGCL, 8 o'clock will be the start of the coverage for those games. Of course, all of your Reds coverage right here on WGCL.
Yeah, guys, we got Reds tonight. We got Colts. We got Reds. We got Fontana IndyCar racing tomorrow. It's got a bunch of stuff everywhere.
You know, I'm sad to admit this, but before we get out of sports, when's the first IU football game?
It's next weekend.
Okay.
So we host somebody. We host another team.
Okay.
I don't know who they are off the top of my head. It escapes me at the moment, but late afternoon kickoff, and it should be a good game. But, yeah, it's great, Jim. We've got thanks for reminding me, IU men's soccer. Tomorrow they had a doubleheader last night. They got Maryland in town, Notre Dame in town. So two games last night two more games on Sunday. But IUHoosiers.com will have all of your information for Indiana football, Indiana volleyball. We got soccer. We got cross country. All kinds of other sports going on.
Southern Illinois September 5th, 4 o'clock kick for that. IUHoosiers.com, as Mr. Piller mentioned. And, of course, Chuck Crabb every Friday, 7 to 8 on Glass.
Big show, yeah.
Yep. We're going to take a break, wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks again for tuning in for the full hour here on Saturday morning. And as we mentioned, David Hayes, Your Money, coming up next for a live special edition Saturday morning. Now, before we get to the weather forecast, which I know we need to do, I have not heard yet from Mr. Hayes if I'm supposed to be coming in tomorrow morning, Saturday morning,
yeah,
as well. Because, you know, in the old days, we would go to Wee Willie's and have our 7 o'clock breakfast. And now that option's not there anymore, so...
I know, you just go sit in the Meineke parking lot for a couple minutes and have a donut from down the street.
Wait till they open the park entrance.
I guess that'll be all right. Anyway, not the same.
Not at all. Forecast for Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, high near 85 today. Tonight, 20% still on the rain. Partly sunny, high near 67. And then tomorrow, Sunday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, high near 83. So, yeah, beautiful weather weekend, I think, Jim, coming up. But stay tuned to WGCLRadio.com for all your weather all the time.
Hey, if you're looking for something to do on Saturday evening, a quick shout-out, Ducks Unlimited, ducks.org, on Saturday tonight, the 29th, from 5 till 10 p.m. out at the American Legion on the West 3rd Street. They are having a dinner, banquet, auction, all kinds of good stuff, again, from 5 till 10 tonight on Saturday. It's a wetlands preservation group, partners with a variety of organizations locally. So check that out, ducks.org. We'll also put it up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Vanessa McClary from Indiana Balloon Fest will be on the show next week. Looking forward to having her on. And then the week after, Dana Thompson and a friend of hers, whose name I don't have just yet, are going to be on to talk about the Walk to End Alzheimer's, great organization that does a wonderful event to help with that disease of dementia. Kurt Durnell's coming up in the not-too-distant future from Indiana State Police. Michael Carter and Skip Chambers from the Monroe County History Club. We've got Abby Gitlitz, who is with the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
So just a lot of cool stuff in the not-too-distant future.
Cool stuff. So, I was at the Foo Fighters concert last night at Cliffs.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, it rocked.
Was
as
it?
You would expect. Motley Crue last week, Foo Fighters this week. Concert season's over right now.
Do you have like an alter ego or any sort of persona that you put on whenever you go to these kind of experiences? Do you do the fro? Do you do the mohawk or anything?
No, nothing like that. But it just creeps Kelly out when I start singing every word from country songs from the late 90s into 2000. She's like, "Who are you?" I'm like, "Well, I was a roadie for Kenny Chesney for 4 years."
Oh, that is awesome. That is good stuff. I just figured at some point somebody would come up and said, "Mr. Piller," and it would be
nope.
A former student.
No.
Okay.
Go incognito on that. You're right.
Just double checking. Everybody have a great weekend, and Mr. Piller, have a good one. Hope to see you next week.
Thanks, brother.
All right. We'll
Take
talk
care.
To you all. Bye-bye.